Let me ask you to take your Bibles now and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We'll not read the whole chapter tonight. We'll start at verse 18, reading into chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul's or Apollos or Cephas or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in servants that a man and stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified. But he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts and then shall every man have praise of God. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. We know the Lord will bless His word to our hearts. Let's please bow in prayer. Our Lord, we ask Thee again tonight to be with us now and settle our hearts. As the Word is opened, we desire to have that instruction from Thy Spirit. Dear Father, so often we have to confess the hardness of our heart and the dullness of our ears. We are not tuned spiritually to hear the things of God, and how much we need tonight to have this word stamped upon our hearts. Lord, hear our prayer. Change us that we may be more conformed to the image of Christ. Change us, Lord, so that we are not so influenced by the thinking and ways of the world. Help us, O God, we pray, to walk humbly with our God, to do justly and to love mercy. Hear our prayers tonight. Help me, Lord, to speak Thy word with authority and power. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. There was a CEO of a certain company, and he was looking for a warehouse manager. He received several applications from those who were current employees. At the close of what was an intensive interview, he said, one thing I would like you to do. As you're going back to the warehouse, I'm expecting a shipment of 10 skids coming in. But I want you to mark down that you received 9 and then bring the paperwork immediately to me. Of the number of people that were interviewed, they all willingly complied, thinking that to make the boss happy, they would certainly secure the job. One man returned back to the boss later and said, "Sir, I am sorry, but I cannot falsify this paperwork. It is against my conscience, and therefore I will have to forego this position." The boss looked at him and said, "Thank you very much. You are the new manager of the warehouse." The purpose being that every boss, everyone that is in charge of something that is important or special, wants to have people in positions of authority that are trustworthy. No one wants a liar. No one wants a cheat to be in charge of their accounting, of their money. And the simple purpose was that if this person would lie for the boss, they would lie to the boss. And therefore, it is expected that those in places of responsibility are going to be trustworthy. You see, the very idea of stewardship is directly linked to faithfulness. For it is expected that someone in that responsible position will behave themselves in a prudent and honest manner. If a man in his business requires such from his managers, how much more should we as Christians, in our own Christian walk and life, be held accountable for our Savior, and we would want to exhibit those highest qualities and thus speak in faithfulness and behave in the same manner. We have already shown you that a steward is a servant. He is one that is put in a place of responsibility and accountability for his job and for his testimony. Is it not the ultimate desire, Christian, that you have tonight in your heart to be seen of the Lord as a person of honor, one of accountability, one who has that reputation of your word being your bond? How important this is for us. Do you not want to hear at the end of your time, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Therefore, I want us to look at primarily verse 2 of this chapter tonight, for it says very clearly, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And we're going to be thinking tonight for the time in our service of faithful stewardship. What is the first indication in a Christian's life of faithful stewardship? I would suggest to you it is this: it is faithfulness in handling the Word of God. Faithfulness in handling the Word of God. The name given to our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation chapter 3 is this: the faithful and true witness. And our Lord Jesus is the preeminent example of a faithful steward, one who kept the word of his Father perfectly. So much so that he was able to say without any contradiction at all, "I do always those things that please him." When we think back to the Old Testament tabernacle and the type of the Ark of the Covenant that was there, what was kept inside the Ark of the Covenant? It was the law of God, the two tables that Moses received from the Lord's hand. And those two tables of the law of God, kept secured inside the Ark of the Covenant, it is a beautiful picture of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he has kept the law of God perfectly inside himself. He obeyed in every point, and he kept the law in every point. And there was not one area where he disobeyed. My friend, when we contrast ourselves to the Lord, We have broken the law in every point. We have offended the law of God in every place. There is not one area that we are innocent before the Lord. We are guilty of all. And yet, because the Lord Jesus obeyed for us, we are able to receive His righteousness by faith. And we are clothed in His merit. And therefore, we are able to come into the very presence of God because of that faithful and obedient and holy life that our Savior lived. Our Lord has left for us this great example, an example of keeping the Word of God. And as God is holy, so we are also to be holy. It is therefore placed upon us that we would be charged to carefully receive and to seriously keep the truth of God's Word in our hearts. The Lord said to Jeremiah, "He that has my word, let him keep and speak my word faithfully." And that same word was in Jeremiah's heart as an intense burning fire. And he is a faithful prophet. He had to handle the word of God. He had to speak the word of God with all the accuracy and faithfulness that God required of him. My friends, the same is true for everyone who handles the Word of God, whether it is a preacher behind the pulpit here, or whether it is a Sunday school teacher dealing with young children, a youth leader, those who are in the capacity of teaching others. It is a duty that is upon every faithful Christian, and it hardly needs to be stated that it is nothing to be trifled with. Because faithfulness to God's Word, the Word of the living and true God, is paramount in our life. Because if we betray God's Word, we have betrayed the Lord who saved us. And it is incumbent, it is necessary for the child of God to hold this truth very, very highly. Here is a problem. Here is a problem in our lives as Christians, but in the present age in which we're living in, it is a great difficulty. For there is a lowering of the esteem of the Word of God, a lowering of our accountability to the Scripture, and a lowering of our necessary obedience. The Lord Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. And being the author of the Word, it is not to be joked with and not to be ignored or just pushed aside. No, you and I, as faithful servants of the living God, we must follow the clear instructions of His Word, our Master, and we must keep that with all the seriousness that we can. What about when you, as an individual Christian going about your daily life? We have talked about preachers and Sunday school teachers and those who are responsible for teaching, but what about you and I in our own life? Because we are to mirror God's truth to a lost world. You see, the world will not read the Scripture, but what they do, they read the Christian. And we are, as Paul says, living epistles. We are letters, open books, to be viewed and read by the world. Therefore, are we today faithful stewards of God's Word by our very testimony? One commentator wrote this: "The gospel is a mystery, not in the sense of its incomprehensibility, but in the sense of its progressive clarity. It is a mystery to a man who at first begins to study it. There are many things confusing and even things troubling to us. But the older that you get in the Lord, the more you go on with Him, the more the Scripture that was at one time very uncertain or mysterious becomes clearer. And the closer we get to the Lord, the more we study His Word, it becomes a clear picture, not blurred, but the focus of the lens has been adjusted slightly, and now that which to us at one time was uncertain has a blessed certainty to us. And so for the true minister of God, we are to take these mysteries and we are to make them intelligible by the help of the Holy Spirit, and we are to spread those messages and that word around. The steward of God has such a responsibility. Paul said of himself, "I am less than the least of all saints." But when it came to the office of preacher, he was extremely serious. And as to that place and that calling, he took that responsibility extremely to his heart. He knew that the handling of God's word was not something light. It wasn't something he could barter away. What is the problem with many of us today? We are more pragmatic. We look upon it as, well, if it works, and I can still go on in my life, and well, the floor hasn't opened and swallowed me up yet, the earth is still under me, well, I can continue to go or maybe behave and live my life in that way. But no, friends, do not misjudge the Lord's patience in our life. Do not interpret because you have not fallen down on your face immediately that the Lord is pleased or He is ignoring our mishandling of His word in our own life. Let us be careful not to make excuses and to disregard the word so that we have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness or the moral standard that we hold for ourselves or in our families is not an important marker of our love for the Lord's word today. You've all heard of the term of the seeker-sensitive church. It's a term that arose several years ago, and the idea was, well, how are we going to get the people that are in the community roundabout to come into the local church? Because really, they don't want to hear the gospel message clearly and straightly preached. They want to hear something else. And so the idea was to present a message or to so form the meeting in the service that will be attractive to those who are unsaved, not Christians. And therefore, we bring them in and sort of get them by the side door and give them a little gospel and maybe they'll get saved. The only problem with that line of thinking, and it's proved to be a colossal failure, is that what you win people with, you win them too. And therefore, if you have to use entertainment to bring people into the house of God, you must continue the entertainment and up the ante all the time in order to keep them coming. No, friend, that's not what the Lord has required of us. He has not called us to do that. He has called us to be faithful to His word. He has called us to proclaim the gospel in all of its simplicity and all of the edges or the barbs that it may have on it that are not pleasing to an ungodly and Christ-rejecting world. People want to talk about the need of the world today is self-esteem. And really the problem with people is that they have a low opinion of themselves. And if we only speak to them in kind words and exalt them and make them feel better, it will help them along the way. But as commentators have said, the problem today with people is not that they have a lack of self-esteem. The problem with people and men today is that they have an inflated opinion about their own worth. And they think much about themselves and they have high opinions of themselves and not thinking that I'm a sinner in the sight of a holy God. Surely the need is to call sin what it is and to state in the clearest of terms that the need of the heart of man is to repent of sin and to flee to Christ and to find the only remedy for your soul's need is going to be the work that Jesus did on the cross to save your soul, friend. That is what you need tonight. When you contrast the faithful man of God who holds the word of God in high esteem compared to, say, the illustration of Balaam in the book of Numbers. You see, Balaam had the word of God. He possessed it, but it produced very little effect upon his life or on his actions. You see, he was enticed by the riches and honor he was promised by Balak, king of Moab. And even the dumb ass saw the angel in front of him and turned aside. But Balaam could not see that the angel of the Lord was there to slay him. My friends, in this case, it is a very shocking and startling one to examine and study the life of this man Balaam. Because although he was not able to curse Israel, he was hired to do that. But God would not allow this man to bring a curse against his people. So he came in himself by the side door, and he sent the daughters of Moab, by the instruction of Balak himself, to commit fornication with the children of Israel. You see, my friend, Balaam loved rather the wages of unrighteousness. And he chose to be with those people who hated the Lord. And today, Balaam is in hell, according to the book of Jude. These are solemn things we're talking about. These are not things to be trifled with. This is not a matter of your opinion. Well, I like this, I don't like this. Friends, we are talking about your eternal soul and where you stand with God and how you relate to His precious Word. If you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will be lost forever in a Christless hell. And all friends, today, the gospel door is open, and the arms of Christ are open to receive you. And He puts out this appeal: now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And today, you are able to come and call upon the Lord, and He will be your living Redeemer. We are called to be faithful stewards of His own precious Word. We're also called to be faithful in our conduct. Again, we're confronted with the Savior and His holy life. For never a man spake like this man did. So never a man walked as the Lord Jesus walked. And the conduct of the Son of God was flawless, which in itself aggravated the Pharisees and His other accusers because, well, it exposed their hypocrisy and their double standard. And that's why they schemed to put Him to death, because they hated that He was a holy man that brought the accusation of God against Him. There was a sign that I saw one time hanging inside of a shoemaker's place, a repairman shop, and it was put up for a bit of a joke, I am sure, but it had truth to it. It said, "There is only one man who has never made a mistake, and they crucified him." You see, my friends, when we think about the standard even the world would hold of Christ, they would see that He is a man of His word. And we say to you tonight that not only is He a man of His word, He's a man of His action. And He is a holy, pure example for us. And His love for the honor of His Father, it's recorded in this phrase where Jesus said, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." And the word zeal means the heat or the ardor, the indignation of the house of God. It has consumed the Lord. What does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ so regarded the will of His Father and the Word of His Father that He was consumed with that holy fire inside of both obeying His Word and exposing the error of those that opposed Him. You see, the emotions that come upon a righteous man, emotions that are sometimes heated ones because of those who have disobeyed or gone against His Word, they are not wrong, but they do have to always be tempered because of our sinful heart. The Lord was righteous in all His ways and pure in all of His thinking. So when He was filled with anger against those who opposed the Word of God, it was purely and completely a righteous anger. But sadly, you and I, when we have a righteous cause, there are times when our own carnal nature is mixed in with that, and therefore we must be careful. We must be careful, for the Lord says, "The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." We have to be very careful in our conduct. The Apostle John clearly tells us that we are to profess Him by our testimony, and if we profess Him with our lips, then our conduct must be parallel to His life. We must walk as He walked. So as stewards of God, our conduct and behavior is to be as exemplary as it can. We are ambassadors of Him. We are always the ones to be representing the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Paul said to Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God." Because our behavior as Christians is going to be examined. And if we don't know how to behave ourselves among Christians in the Lord's house, well, how are we going to properly be an example and an ambassador of the Savior outside? You see, in contrast, if the Christian is to know this for the house of the Lord, we are also to know it for our own house. We are to know it for our own workplace and our own times of being in the shopping mall, wherever we might be. Every time mingling with other people, our actions among people will be far greater than our words spoken. For how often have you heard it back to you again, "I'm not going to that church," or "I'm not going to become a Christian because I know Christians who are hypocrites. I know Christians who do things that I would never do." And if you've heard that word, it is an indictment against the people of God. And it's a very hard thing to argue against. All we can say is, "Yes, you're right, and I probably know more than you do." But don't look to man. Turn your eyes upon the Savior and look full in His wonderful face. In Exodus chapter 18, Moses was advised to find some help in judging the people by Jethro, his father-in-law. And the advice was given this: "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God," and then note this, "men of truth, hating covetousness." Men who are truthful, hating covetousness, because they will be the most faithful stewards and leaders and overseers. Friends, our conduct is important. And you see, just when you figure no one's really watching you in your life, well, you just step out of line and you will see how great an impact your life is really having upon other people. And then we are called as stewards, thirdly, to be faithful in the execution of our duty. For we're told in our text that we are to be found faithful. And that means that we are to be, after examination, we are to be seen faithful. So all after the books have been tallied, the columns must balance. If they do not balance, then we have to find out, where did the funds go missing? Why are they not adding up? And so in the execution of our duty, we must be found to be faithful. The Lord Jesus said, I do always those things that please Him. And the Savior knew that His purpose was to suffer and to die on a cruel cross in order to fulfill the will of His Father. And His reply was, Lord, not my will be done, but Thine. And as stewards of God, we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called. In other words, to walk in a manner that will so exemplify the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This involves an honest, trustworthy conduct, and that proves we are who we say we are. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And a man who says one thing and does another thing, they speak with a forked tongue, to use the Indian proverb. Let us not be people of a forked tongue. Rather, let us be true and honorable in our conduct, in our behavior, in what is expected of us. Another commentator wrote this. He said, as he is a servant, he must be faithful to his master. And as he is a dispenser, he must be faithful to those subjects of his oversight. Talking about one who is a steward of the word, whether a minister or an individual. In Numbers chapter 12, it records the words of God about Moses. And the Lord gave this testimony, and it's quite sweet and very honorable. He said, my servant Moses, who is faithful in all my house. Moses was faithful, and he received that word from God. Are we going to receive that same word? The prophet Micaiah, who appeared before the wicked Ahab, he said, as the Lord liveth, what the Lord saith unto me, that will I speak. And one man who had a lone voice, and yet he was faithful in his duty, and he did not take into account the fact that there were many who were speaking the other word, and he did the will of the Lord, and God blessed him. And as the duty of the Old Testament prophet, it varied, so the duty for the child of God varies today. But no matter what the age is, no matter what the time is, the warning is still applicable to all of us. We need to beware of neglect. Beware of a casualness toward the things of God. As one writer said, tomorrow will not have a moment to spare for the duties that are neglected today. We put off, we procrastinate, and we think, well, I'll get at that sometime later. But don't be deceived, friend. Holy living is for today. Holy living is not something you put off to tomorrow, and not something we're going to rectify tomorrow. No, it's to be done today, because tomorrow time will be consumed in many other things. We are to live for the Lord now, in this very moment, where you are seated now. And friend, let me admonish you. If in examining your own heart, you have to say, I am so deficient in this area, I need help from the Lord, don't leave tonight without praying that prayer. Lord, help me. Help me to be a faithful steward of the things of God. Help me in my conduct, my testimony. We must be faithful, friends, because there is a day of final accountability coming. We don't know how far off it is for any one of us. A day when we will present ourselves before our Lord. And we will have to give account for the talents that He has given to us. How have we used them? Or sadly, how have we buried them or abused them in some other way? There is a day of accounting for every steward. And we don't want to have God's fire applied to our life and everything that is hay, wood, and stubble be burned up. and we have nothing left to show for Him and to Him. Oh, may the Lord's grace grip our souls, and may His Spirit enable us, and may we have that desire to be faithful in our time, in our generation, in what the Lord has called us to do. We're going to close our service tonight by singing hymn number 576. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Let's bow before the Lord, please, in prayer. And as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed tonight. You know, we were hearing today about the benefit and blessings of Mother's Day and of the impact that mothers have had on all our lives. And who will be able to tell but eternity of the value of a mother's prayers for a son, a daughter that is still unsaved, and how I am thankful in my own heart and life for my own mother and for all that she has done and means to me and all the prayers that were offered up on my account. And friend, don't turn away or spurn those faithful prayers that have been offered up for you before God. Heavenly Father, work tonight, we ask, in the heart of every one of us. We want thy word to have fruit in our life. We pray, Father, for those who are still unsaved. May their hearts be convicted of sin, and may they call out in their own heart where they are now, what must I do to be saved? Lord, separate us now in thy fear with thy rich blessing. We ask all this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.